What is the 1888 message? Is it biblical? Chapter 7. The Powerful Message of the Two Covenants. Introduction. One of the most important of the 1888 message essentials was Jones and Wagoner's view of the two covenants. It has within it an effective evangelism appeal that God intended should characterize the Revelation 18 loud cry of the everlasting gospel. Unfortunately, within 20 years of the Minneapolis conference, the opposer's view prevailed in the denomination, with the result that to this day confusion and spiritual apathy continue. Children and youth in Sabbath school and the Pathfinders Club are especially affected by a gospel that embodies old covenant motifs. In 1890, Ellen White was shown in vision that Wagoner's view was correct and that the brethren were wasting their time trying to oppose it. A world church cannot understand the truth of the new covenant and also remain lukewarm. The Bible evidence. The Old Covenant was initiated by the people at Mount Sinai, established on their promise to obey God's commandments. The New Covenant is established on better promises, that is, God's. The people could not keep their promise to obey. Even today, they cannot. The Old Covenant is not merely a minor mistake. It produces slavery to spiritual discouragement, and thus to failures. The Hebrew word translated, obey my voice, means, listen to my voice. Shamaiah, and the Hebrew word translated, keep my covenant, means, cherish my covenant, Shamar. While human covenants are indeed mutual agreements or contracts, God's covenant is always a one-sided promise on his part, for he knows we cannot keep our promises. Cherish my covenant, therefore meant, cherish my promise to Abraham. God's covenant is his unilateral promise. The tragic failures of Old Covenant theology led to the destruction of the Temple and Jerusalem, and the captivity of Judah. The New Covenant was God's sevenfold promise to Abraham and to his descendants. In Isaac, the promises were repealed and amplified. Never did God ask Abraham to promise anything in return. With a solemn bloody oath, God pledged his existence and his throne on his fulfillment of those promises. The Levitical sanctuary services were Old Covenant in nature. God hated the sacrifices offered in an Old Covenant spirit. As a consequence of the people's Old Covenant promise at Sinai, the Lord had to dwell among them, rather than where he wanted to dwell, that is, in their hearts, as with their father Abraham. Due to Old Covenant encouragement to idolatry, Hezekiah had to destroy Moses' bronze serpent. A basic problem in the remnant church is Old Covenant spiritual pride and idolatry and arrogance. The Old Covenant idea of righteousness by faith majors in our initiating and maintaining a relationship with Jesus. The New Covenant demonstrates that he is initiating and maintaining a relationship with us, which will succeed if we do not resist him by hard-hearted unbelief. The faith that justified Abraham was his believing God's New Covenant promises. Thus, the faith that works in righteousness by faith is a heart appreciation of God's new covenant promise to the individual believer today. The promise of the new earth as an everlasting possession requires him to make the believer righteous, for in the new heavens and new earth dwelleth only righteousness. Salvation does not depend on us holding on to God's hand, but upon our believing that he is holding on to our hand. The former is old covenant in nature, the latter is new. The cleansing of the sanctuary, the latter rain, the loud cry, the finishing of the gospel commission, embody the ultimate fulfillment of God's new covenant promises. When the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem in Laodicea understand their corporate involvement in the crucifixion of Christ, God's law will be written in their hearts and minds. Summary. Old Covenant. Righteousness by faith has us taking the initiative to promise God to be faithful and keep our promises. It is essentially the faith plus works brand of the gospel. The new covenant has God more actively involved in our salvation, initiating the entire process. From first to last, this has been the work of God, so that the only reason one can be lost is his own personal unbelief and resistance and rejection. Old covenant Adventists fear the new covenant message lest it lower standards of law obedience, unmindful that only agape is the fulfilling of the law, and that all egocentric motivation produces either lukewarmness or eventual falling away. Only agape never faileth. Conclusion. The truth of the two covenants is part of the latter rain message that would have prepared the church to proclaim the loud cry message to lighten the earth with glory. It is impossible for the grain in the harvest to ripen if this greater good news concept is absent. The Seventh-day Adventist Church desperately needs a clear revival and proclamation of this truth as the Lord in His great mercy sent it through Jones and Wagoner. Do not fear that the most precious good news will weaken the devotion of our youth. Nothing else will produce a lasting commitment on their part. Only then can they sense the motivation to take up the cross to follow Christ, whithersoever He goeth, which means more than a brief missionary trip to Mexico or Honduras, etc.